Okay, this hour we'll take Tim Schwartz along with you, and we'll take your phone calls. You've heard what we've been talking about, so we'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And our Skype line is open at George97313. Tim, Tesla and the Philadelphia experiment. Any tie-ins there?
Yes, there was. Tesla was asked in the, I think it was in the late 1930s, if he would participate in what would later be known as the Philadelphia Experiment. Now, you have to understand, when the idea was first conceived, it was more along the lines of making ships, battleships and the like, invisible to radar, and also demagnetized so they would not attract mines to them. As the research progressed, it became more and more apparent that there was something else going on with the resonating electromagnetic fields that were used on these ships, possibly optical invisibility, and maybe even the ability to jump out of this field of reality and into another. Tesla's participation actually was minimal. They used some of his research, but at this point, you know, Tesla was pretty old and not in the best of health, and he also felt that the lines of experiments that they were conducting at the time was dangerous. In fact, he told them so, and then withdrew all of his participation. They continued on with the experiments and ended up with the devastating effects that have been written about before. You know, I mean, the crewmen actually bursting into flames afterwards. Some of them were found embedded in the hull of the ship. Some of them disappeared, never to be seen again. There were reports, actually, where some of these crewmen were seen years later appearing and disappearing almost like ghosts. The speculation is that they actually had become unstuck in time and were just drifting, you know, basically willy-nilly.
That's right, trapped.
Yeah, yeah, just across their time field. Tesla's participation was minimal. He allowed them to use some of his ideas and some of his earlier experiments, but you know, he felt that they were treading, you know, in dangerous territory. And at least at the time, you know, it seems like he was correct.
It's amazing, amazing person. Now, you say he died of a heart attack, Tesla did?
Yes, a heart failure. You know, that's,
well, in the age, he was in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, he had actually a year or so before he died, he was hit by a cab the streets of Manhattan and was injured quite a bit. He did survive, but he never really regained his health like he had been. I mean, before that time, he had been pretty robust. I mean, he took care of himself and got around quite a bit. But after his cab accident, I mean, that really played, you know, a major role in his downturn, you know, of health at the time. And then he ended up, I mean, he was just found dead in his bed, one morning.
Do you think his death ray has been perfected?
As a
secret weapon somewhere?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they, both the Soviet Union especially, at least as far as we know, took Tesla's concept of a death ray or a particle beam weapon, to way past just the experimental stage. I mean, the United States had satellite photos of an array in the Soviet Union that, for all intents and purposes, was the Tesla death ray. Now, the United States may have developed a similar project, but we're not going to find out about it because naturally they're going to keep that very close to their vest. There has been speculation that the HAARP array, which is located in Alaska, mm-hmm. While not a particle beam weapon as Tesla conceived, but was based on some of Tesla's experiments and ideas for using radio frequencies as an atmospheric heater. You have to understand that, science marches on. So, I mean, things that that Tesla came up with back at the turn of the century, they've taken those ideas and then they've improved upon them and gone past them.
Okay, let's go take some calls with you, Tim. Okay. Randy in Phoenix, Arizona, let's get you going here. Go ahead, Randy.
Hello there. Thank you for letting me speak.
Sure.
Hi, Randy. Work for Reagan. I was tasked by Reagan, and I did work for PAN-2A, which oversaw all the Deep Blue and Black projects. And one of my tasks, was to gather any and all information on Tesla. And half of what you said is true, and half of what you said is not true.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Tesla, even though he owed the Waldorf Astoria $50,000, he did not die broke. All his bills were paid for. Tesla was extremely rich, but he gave all his money away because he believed in a unified Yugoslavia. He gave about $10 million away, which in today's money is somewhere about in the neighborhood about $300 million.
Wow. He had that much, huh?
Oh, yes. The other thing was they did vacuum up everything because that was the one of the things was to find out if they had missed anything. Professor also had a lab until the day he died, a small little hole-in-the-wall lab after his other one burned down, still operating. The other thing was that he photographed everything, and
for record keeping, you mean?
For record keeping, all his notes. Matter of fact, when the person who tasked this operation was Roosevelt himself, he went to Willis George. Willis George was actually one of the founders of OSS. He was their top black bag man. Matter of fact, he was like one of their little tiny engineers. He actually developed a little camera that instantly took a micro dot, a little bit about the size of a postage stamp.
Huh.
And so he was tasked to gather any and all information on Tesla. Matter of fact, he broke into his hotel room, broke into his safe. He had two Navy corpsmen with him, and I think one of them was the one that stole the gold Edison medal that he got for his reward. The other thing was they went to his warehouse. They went through he had about 120, 160 trunks. Their trunks were always different sizes, so it's kind of hard to say a trunk is a trunk. When they got done, there was only about 80 crates left because Willis George's task was to sit there and microfilm everything, and anything he thought important he was to destroy.
And they were they afraid of him? Were they afraid of his technology?
No, and actually, you got to remember, there was a war going on. Matter of fact, they even went to his lawyer and got a bunch of his patents that had not been filed yet. And the lawyer, who was, it's not supposed to do this, but he gave them because, once again, we were at war and win the war and,
Interesting. Okay, let me take a few more calls here. But fascinating. The individual was, he would have been a great guest, Tim, on this program.
Yes, he would have if you could have gotten him to take the time for it.
Yeah.
Tesla rarely had time for stuff like that.
Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Glenda's there. Hi, Glenda.
Hi. How are you doing, George?
Hey, good.
I love your show, and thank you, Tim, also for being on the line, sharing this information.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks. I have a question about Tesla's scalar technology.
Mm-hmm.
The scalar waves are meant to be used against countries and cities, but is it possible, or have you come across any information that shows where this can be used on a personal level for civilians?
A personal level.
In what way?
Like a helium?
Shielding ourselves from ELF, extra low frequencies, and various other types of HARP technology, for example.
Right. Well, one of the things that Tesla had conceived was using what we now call scalar technology, and I have to profess that I don't quite understand the high mathematics that is involved with the whole scalar waves, but Tesla's idea was that you could create, say, like a dome of protection, so to speak, over a city or over a location that would prevent, say, like a missile from penetrating, almost like like a force field, so to speak. And there seems to be some pretty good evidence coming from the United States State Department that the Soviet Union has actually experimented with this kind of technology. There have been reports of like balls of energy that were seen coming over mountain ranges as sighted from Iran, and Turkey in the direction of the Soviet Union, which seems to be very similar to Tesla's idea of scalar devices and the domes of protection, so to speak. But there's also, Tesla was also extremely interested in the health benefits of electromagnetic radiations. And I'd mentioned this earlier. He had developed a number of devices that were to be sold and distributed to hospitals all over the world that he felt had healing benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Using not only electromagnetic and scalar effects, but also heating devices that would create a localized area of heating, and we now know that various kinds of cancers can be treated very effectively by using a very localized heating to destroy tumors and the spread of cancer. So it seems like that Tesla had the right idea. He was just way ahead of his time.
If he had been given a blank check, God knows what he would have come up with.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it was true. I mean, it just would have been incredible what he would have been able to do, and how our society would be today. When it comes to just the distribution of energy and how energy is produced.
Well, what if he had a computer, Tim? My gosh! I mean, do you think that would have helped him even more?
It's hard to say. He seemed to have been pretty successful just using his own incredible brain. It was like he had a PC in his brain, and so I don't know if a computer would have helped or hindered him.
Let's go to Marshall in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Hi, Marshall. Go ahead.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good, Marshall. Thank you.
Excellent. Hey, Tim, I'm sure you've heard of Tesla's Wall of Light.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that there's very little information about it on the Internet, but I've actually been able to reproduce a version of it. But as you well know, Tesla thought if he could produce a Wall of Light, there might be a way you could program it to affect space and time. I was just wondering, do you know where there might be any more information about his ideas about this wall of light?
Well, and that's just it. I mean, if you would go and use any search engine and look up a wall of light, I mean, you'll see a number of different people who, like yourself, have been experimenting with this type of technology, and this also goes into what I've been talking about earlier about the domes of protection, and along those lines. But it seems that Tesla's concept for the wall of light may have extended even past. Just say like a physical force of protection, and may have gone into, you know, I mean, what we would call the realm of science fiction, where you've got something that may resonate beyond our reality, so to speak. I mean, Tesla experimented quite a bit unintentionally at first, but then later, once he kind of got a basic idea of what was happening, I mean, he was looking at you know, the possibility that you could actually go beyond time and space and see the inner workings of the universe.
Like a time machine?
Somewhat. I mean, like I said, you know, that has kind of negative, science fiction attributes to it. But Tesla had an accident one time where he was struck and enveloped by a resonating electromagnetic field. And he said at the time, he told a reporter afterwards that he felt like that he had been placed outside of time and space, and that he could actually see the past, present, and future all at once. And he said it was almost too much for his mind to handle. And that, you know, our concepts of, you know, linear time, you know, the past, the present, and future all flowing in one direction are basically incorrect, and that time and space is actually just like, you know, one entity that exists, you know, here and now. Everything is happening all at once. So, you know, his wall of light theories, you know, kind of also, you know, went into, you know, into that realm of possibility, you know. But, you know, like I said before, you know, Tesla was hindered by, you know, the technology of his day. So I've often speculated that, you know, there may be other, you know, government military-run laboratories that have or are even still conducting these same experiments, and who knows where they where they may be at this point.
If you, Tim, had a chance to talk to Tesla, what would you have asked him?
Well, I would have asked him how he was going to do his wireless transmission of electricity. Tesla was not very good at writing down his ideas. He would conceive them in his head. And then he would explain to his engineers, you know, who work for him, what he wanted. And a lot of the material that we have nowadays that were written down were actually written by Tesla's engineers.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Tim, and we'll take final phone calls with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take final phone calls with Tim Schwartz as we talk about Tesla, UFOs, time travel as well. Hey, the coasttocoastam.com store is up and running with incredible offers and incredible products. Just simply go to our website and put away some stuff for the holidays and have a great time. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Tim Schwartz, time travel, is it possible?
Is it possible? Well, I think it is. I don't know whether or not it can be done mechanically with the time, you know, like with the time machine, like we see with H.G. Wells.
We'll sit in it, turn the dial, and off we go.
That's right. And that would be great if we could, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
You know, I think possibly that there could be a natural time machine, so to speak. I've investigated for a number of years now a phenomenon called time slips, where people will just, you know, like somebody will just be walking down the road one day and all of a sudden they'll find themselves
in a different warp.
I was just
talking about that.
Yeah,
too.
and another time and place. I mean, they'll be able, I mean, they'll see the sights, and I mean, they'll be able to smell how that time looked, and there seems to be not much, but maybe just a little bit of interaction between that person and the time that you know that they went to, and then all of a sudden they'll find themselves back in their normal time and space. So I've often wondered if there are not you know, portal, naturally occurring portals or wormholes or whatever. I mean, you know, we just don't have the terms, you know, currently to conceive of these effects. But I've often wondered, you know, if there's not some kind of natural thing going on that is trying to show us that, I mean, you know, we don't have to have, you know, like, you know, an infinite amount of energy or black holes, you know, produced by machines to time travel, that there is a, you know, an easier way to do it. I mean, I have no idea how that is. But if you consider if time slips is a form of time travel, then something must be going on a natural scale that's producing this effect. And that, you know, is a line of research that I think that, you know, scientists should look into.
Well, why do you say that it's not possible to do it with a machine?
Well, you know, with our current ideas of physics and time and space, I don't think it is, because I mean, you know, right now, you know, physicists, those that believe that time travel could be possible, I mean, they're talking about using, you know, like infinite amount of energies, like, you know, produced in black holes to create a wormhole that can, you know, like produce like a Mobius field type of effect that would loop back upon itself. I mean, just, you know, we're talking about a technology that would be, you know, like centuries ahead of our own. So I mean, you know, it could be possible by, you know, by making a man-made machine, but just, you know, with our current understanding of physics and the nature of the universe and reality, I don't think it's possible.
Okay, let's go to final phone calls. We'll go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Rebecca's there, first of all. Hi, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was just wanting to mention something about, as I recall from reading a book called Man Out of Time about Tesla, it seems like I recall some real unusual circumstances around his birth. As I recall, he was born at the stroke of midnight in a really intense electrical storm.
That's correct, yes.
Right. And what I was wanting to mention was that in like the old religions, they believed that the stroke of midnight, and also, as I recall, he was born on Halloween, Halloween evening. And the old religions believed that, you know, the stroke of midnight and like Halloween in particular, that the veil between the worlds was thinner. And I just thought that, you know, maybe somehow he got some sort of a, you know, a jolt from the other side when he was born, because he was born under such, you know, strange circumstances and right in that gateway period, you know, at midnight. And I believe it was on Halloween, if I'm not mistaken. And also one more thing I wanted to mention was his mother, as I recall from reading that same book, she was into inventing things, and so I don't know, maybe, you know, she had a bit of influence on his you know, wanting to invent and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to, you know, get your thoughts on that.
Well, you're absolutely correct that you know, Tesla was born during a very severe thunderstorm, and that's, you know, that has led some people to speculate that that he was dropped here on this planet, you know, by a flying saucer, that the extraterrestrials had created this severe thunderstorm in order to hide they're bringing this this changeling baby and giving it to the Teslas, you know. But and you're absolutely correct. I mean, his mother, both his mother and his father, were extremely intelligent. But you have to realize that, you know, the time and the place that they were living, you know, there really wasn't much of a chance to exploit that kind of intelligence. So, I mean, they had to live their lives as best as they could. And fortunately, though, they had the means to send Tesla to university in Europe. Tesla never finished his you know, his studies, because, I mean, he was so smart that...
he was bored, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he intimidated his professors as well. I mean, he at the time, you know, when he was talking about making an AC motor, and his professor was telling him that an AC motor would be, the equivalent of a perpetual motion machine, and that perpetual motion was impossible. Yeah.
Little did they know. As a matter of fact, wasn't it Edison who came up with DC and Tesla kept pushing AC?
Yes, that's well. And see, Edison had, he already had a DC infrastructure in Manhattan going at the time. And I mean, you've seen these old pictures of Manhattan where there's just the streets were just covered crisscross with wires. You could barely see the sky. The thing about DC was that you had to have a retransmission facility every couple of blocks, because DC just does not travel very far. That's the beauty of AC, is that it can travel, you know, hundreds of miles before you have to step it up again.
That's right.
And retransmit it. So, yes, I mean, Edison saw, you know, here's this young upstart coming in from Europe with this AC motor, and Edison, you know, he realized that this was a guy that could go and ruin his whole business plan. I mean, you know, Edison, he was a businessman. You know, he was there to make money. And he was not going to let anybody, you know, stand in his way in getting rich and staying rich.
And did his ego get in the way? Is that why they didn't partner up?
Edison's or Tesla's? Both men.
Both of them
had big egos. So yeah, I mean, it was a clash of egos all the way. And yes, I mean, Edison did have, you know, a very big ego. I mean, Edison was not the inventor that we think of him. He was a businessman. I mean, you know, Edison, you know, he could come up with an idea, but then he would have his engineers do his work for him. And then Edison would take other people's works to the patent office and say, oh, yeah, here, I did this.
Okay, back to the phones. Let's go to Hartville, Ohio. Chris is with us, first-time caller. Morning, Chris.
Hi, how you doing there, George?
Hey, Christopher, good.
I would like to thank yourself and the staff of Coast to Coast AM for your outstanding radio program.
Sure, thank you.
I was going to say something about the Wardenclyffe Museum that they're going to be starting soon. I don't know if you knew anything about it or not. It's on Tesla Street, East Shoreham, New York. I don't know if you knew anything about it or not. They are buying the property here soon and going to turn it into a museum for Tesla.
I heard about that. I don't know a lot about it. Tim, how about you?
There has been a push very recently to buy the Wardenclyffe facility. Now, this is I talked about this earlier. This is where Tesla was building his array to wirelessly transmit electricity all around the world. And the tower is gone, but the building where the facilities was, he had a laboratory there, and offices and things like that still remains. It's basically, you know, it's empty and decrepit. So there's been a push to buy this building and to build a Tesla museum. I mean, we really don't have a decent Tesla museum here in the United States, like they do over in Yugoslavia. Excuse me. And this would be a perfect opportunity They, in fact, they were trying to raise, I think it was like $80,000 in order to put in a bid to buy the property. Well, they actually have managed to raise in just a couple of days' time over $1 million. So it's the bid to get this money through donation has been extremely successful. So hopefully they'll be able to take this money and buy the property and to create the museum. It's been a long time coming, and you know, if there is anybody, and I think who deserves a decent museum here in the United States, it's Nikola Tesla.
Absolutely. Let's go to Anonymous in L.A., Los Angeles. Hello there.
Hi.
Hey. So we're anonymous. How come?
We're anonymous because I've been threatened too many times not to speak.
Okay.
But I wanted to say one thing is when I was a young child, well, not really young, but young teenager, and walking down the street one day, a person appeared to me that I did not recognize, did not know where they went when I turned around and went screaming down the street. And at any rate, I was told when I underwent some research in this area of the country where you are, that would have been my father had he lived to that age, but that at that point in time it was only possible for them to move him forward in time for a very brief period, and he wanted me to know it was him.
Did you believe it?
Yes. Yes, I did, because when I was asked how, my memories are still just coming back now.
Okay.
It's years ago, but when I was asked what the person looked like, it did look like my dad.
That's a great story.
Because I was able to visually kind of grab that back. And when I had turned around just a few seconds later, I mean seconds, there was no one anywhere that you could see it all, and it was an area that should have you should have still been able to see anybody if they were walking in one of many directions.
It's a great story. Tim, some people say that Tesla might have been a time traveler.
Yes. Well, you know, once again, people just can't seem to believe that such a great mind as Tesla could have ever happened unless he was an extraterrestrial or a time traveler or something along those
or
lines.
Or a great remote viewer or something.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's like I said before, it gives humanity, it's a great disservice to how great our mind actually is. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, we all are a part of creation, and we all have a spark of the divine in us. And I think that we all have that ability to achieve greatness, like
sure.
Tesla does, you know, Tesla did, you know, and I think that there are other people out there right now, like Tesla, possibly working in silence or whatever. And I think that if we just believe in ourselves and open our minds to the possibilities of what can be achieved, that I really do think that that all of us can aspire to greatness.
Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Anthony's turn. Go ahead, Anthony.
I just wanted to say, yeah, Tesla, he was something else. And he, I think he was trying to invent ways to where they didn't have to have, like, electrical lines going house.
That's right. He wanted all wireless.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all wireless.
But here's the problem with that. They couldn't figure out how to make money with it. It was almost free electricity, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I'm sure
you'd have to pay for the box to receive it.
Yeah, I see, you know, here we have businessmen who just were not thinking, they weren't thinking, you know, outside of the box, so to speak. I mean, I'm sure that there could have been a way to make this venture profitable, you know, but they saw, and, you know, it's very similar to what we have nowadays, you know, with the whole oil cartel and people trying to develop alternative forms of energy. I mean, you know, people just they can't conceive how they could continue making their vast amounts of money if we're using a form of energy rather than petroleum. And it was the same way in Tesla's time. They had already made a buku amount of money transmitting electricity over wires, and they just could not conceive an alternative form of transmitting electricity and how to get rich off of that.
Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Hello.
I have waiting to get on Coast for 20 years.
Well, unfortunately, we only got about a minute or so left, so go for it.
Okay, I'm a New Year's Eve midnight baby.
Okay.
And I'm second generation mystic. And Timothy from the Pentagon, St. Timothy from the Pentagon, came to me the other night. We got to announce the whole true descent of the New Jerusalem and St. Bernie.
Well, when are you going to make this announcement?
I've been trying to make it over the media for the last 20 years, and I've got to do it right away, and so maybe I can be on Coast for an hour.
All right. Well, for an hour? You want a whole hour? Well, you'll have to talk to our producers about that. Tim, we only have a minute left. Please give us your websites. Tell us about your works and Tim Beckley's works as well.
Yes. Well, if you're interested in Tesla or UFOs or ghosts, vampires, shapeshifters, just about anything that your weird heart desires, just visit our website at conspiracyjournal.com. You can also visit, if you're interested in Tesla, is teslassecretlab.com. Both myself and Timothy Green Beckley have books on Amazon. I've got the Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla and others. Timothy Green Beckley, he's just recently released The Hounds of the Baskervilles.
Ooh.
Very, very
interesting. I love it. Well, hey, say thanks to the other Tim for me. I know he was having some severe phone problems, but I'm glad you were with us.
Well, thank you very much, George. I really appreciate you letting me be on this evening.
You got it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.